Hello and welcome to Scripture Verse by Verse. My name is Mike Murat. Today we are in the book of Proverbs, continuing our verse by verse study. We come today to Proverbs chapter 10, verse 10, and the plan is to go through chapter 11, verse 4. So if you have a Bible, open it up to Proverbs chapter 10, and let's begin with prayer, as we always do. Heavenly Father, we pray and ask that your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path, that we wouldn't just be hearers of your word, but that we would be doers of your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, Proverbs chapter 10, verse 10 says, "He who winks the eye causes trouble." And that's talking about a deceiver, somebody who isn't being upfront. They're winking their eye as they're talking to somebody. They're saying one thing, but they're thinking something totally different. "He who winks the eye causes trouble, but he who boldly reproves makes peace." In other words, when a deceptive person is rebuked and exposed for the deceiver that they are, then peace will replace what would have been sorrow for anyone who would have believed him and would have been taken in by him. And so the lesson for us here is this: expose deceivers before they have a chance to hurt someone. If you know that somebody's a deceiver, expose them and rescue somebody who might be their victim. Verse 11, "The mouth of the righteous is a fountain of life." Stop right there for a second. In other words, a righteous person is worth listening to. Their words are a fountain of life. And if you are a righteous person, then loving correction will come out of your mouth. Comfort will come out of your mouth. Words of encouragement, words of instruction will come out of your mouth. And in other words, what God is saying is that a righteous person, his words will enrich people's lives. And so the mouth of a righteous person is a fountain of life, but the mouth of the wicked conceals violence. In other words, a wicked person is plotting bad, but they don't let you know that. They're plotting bad, but they use deceitful words to hide their evil intentions. And just notice the contrast between how an evil person and a good person uses their mouth. Totally different, night and day. Verse 12. "Hatred stirs up strife." Hatred stirs up strife. Bad things happen to everybody. Everybody gets sinned against. But anyone who refuses to forgive somebody who has confessed their sin and apologized, anyone who refuses to forgive somebody like that and continues to stir up strife and continues to stir up old grudges, God says they have hate in their heart. They've got a problem with the sin of hatred themselves. Hatred stirs up strife, but love covers all offenses. Love covers all offenses. Once a sin has been apologized for and confessed and turned away from, a loving person who's been offended, that loving person who's been sinned against, won't talk about that sin anymore, will not gossip about that sin, and won't dwell on it either. 13. "On the lips of him who has understanding, wisdom is found." In other words, if a person has insight, you'll know it by what he says. "On the lips of him who has understanding, wisdom is found, but a rod is for the back of him who lacks sense." A person who doesn't have any biblical sense is headed for trouble, headed for pain, and he's going to bring it on himself. A rod is for the back of somebody who doesn't have biblical sense. In other words, painful discipline and painful punishment awaits those who do foolish things, who do unbiblical things. 14. "Wise men lay up knowledge, Wise men lay up knowledge. In other words, they have it. Just like you would if you're wealthy. You lay up your money. And you probably, if you're wise, you spend it right. You spend it in a correct way. You don't just blow it on any old thing. You're very careful about how you use your wealth. It's the same with wise men in their knowledge. They store up their knowledge. In other words, the wise make good use of their knowledge. They don't blurt out their knowledge any old time. They use it in a very wise way. They save it, and they use it at the right time, and at the right place, and with the right people. Wise men lay up knowledge, but notice the last part of verse 14, but the babbling of a fool brings ruin near. The babbling words of a fool, on the other hand, are sort of like empty fizz. Totally worthless. And you also never know when they're going to open up their mouths and say something hurtful, or at the very least, totally useless. They speak noise pollution. Look at 15. A rich man's wealth is his strong city. The rich get richer because they have money, and their money can make them more money. And so that's why a rich man's wealth is his strong city. The rich can afford to invest their money and make more money. The rich can afford to buy quality merchandise. That means it's going to last longer. That means fewer repairs. And so they save money that way as well. And so there's a great advantage to being rich. It says a rich man's wealth is his strong city. The poverty of the poor is their ruin. On the other hand, unlike the rich, the poor, they get poorer. They're at a great disadvantage because they can't get started. It's the poverty of a poor person that oftentimes keeps them poor. They barely have enough money to buy food and pay their rent and gas. They certainly don't have the money to invest, so they can't earn money on any investments. They can't get ahead that way. And oftentimes, because they don't have a lot of money, they have to buy used instead of buying new, or they have to buy a lower quality of something, and that means repairs, and that means breakdowns, or that means they have to purchase another one. And that costs money too. 16. The wage of the righteous leads to life. The wage of the righteous leads to life. In other words, good, honest work will produce a useful product or a useful service. It leads to life. In other words, it enhances life. That product or that service becomes a blessing to the buyer and also to the person who works to produce that product or to deliver that service. And so it says, the wage of the righteous leads to life, the gain of the wicked to sin. Unlike righteous work, work that is dishonorable leads to sin. For example, dishonorable work, making pornography, selling pornography, that's dishonorable work. It leads to sin. Dishonorable work, like making and distributing pornography, you make a lot of money. But it is sin, and it also leads to sin. And in fact, the more that a person like that sins by selling, the more money he makes, but also the more sin he promotes. Look at 17. He who heeds instruction is on the path of life, or the path to life, but he who rejects reproof goes astray. If you ignore scriptural advice, if you ignore scriptural reproof, correction, then you're going to do wrong things, and you're going to lead others, perhaps people that you care about, you're going to lead them down the wrong road too. It's going to affect them in some way, and you're going to influence them to making wrong choices as well. And so very important to live for Jesus and accept biblical advice, because there's a lot at stake. Live for Jesus because you ought to do it for Him. Live for Jesus for those that you care about because it's going to affect them. And live for Jesus for yourself as well. 18. He who conceals hatred has lying lips. Yeah, and he's a hypocrite also, because he hides his hatred with smiles and insincere words. He who conceals hatred has lying lips. He who utters slander is a fool, and they're a horse of peace. The second part of this verse talks about a guy who hates just like the first guy did. They both hate, only he doesn't hide his hatred. He displays it with slander. God says he's a fool. One is no better than the other. 19. When words are many, transgression is not lacking. You are so much better off if you keep your words to a minimum. Don't say anything about anything that doesn't need to be said. And if it's at all possible, pray before you say anything. Let your words be directed by the Holy Spirit, because you're just going to be a lot better off in the long run. The more we talk, the better shot we have at saying something wrong. And you know, somebody who talks a lot, they're just begging for trouble. Look at 19 again. When words are many, transgression is not lacking, but he who restrains his lips is prudent. When a person learns to finally just shut up, when a person learns just to keep their mouth shut and listen instead of blabbering so much, God says that that person is wise. Wise thing to do. Number one, he's not going to have to apologize nearly as often. And number two, he's not going to have to be embarrassed over saying things that he shouldn't have said. It just makes so much sense to manage your mouth, manage your tongue. Verse 20. The tongue of the righteous is choice silver. Hold it right there for a second. The tongue of the righteous is choice silver. If your character is holy, then your words are going to be valuable, like choice silver. Other people's lives are going to be made better by the words that you speak. And you know what else? If you are a righteous person, then you are going to be blessed, and you are going to feel refreshed after hearing the words of a godly person. It's going to be a positive thing for you. It's going to have a positive effect on your attitude. The words of the righteous are like choice silver. It says the tongue of the righteous is choice silver. The mind of the wicked is of little worth. And if you were a mind reader, you would find that reading the mind of a wicked person would be like dropping a bucket down a dry well. You're not going to find anything of worth in the mind of a wicked person. Nothing. Totally useless. And since there's nothing of worth in their mind, you can bet that there's nothing of worth in their words either, because our words come from what's in our mind. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. 21. The lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die for lack of sense. And remember what a fool is in the eyes of God. It's not somebody who has a low IQ, mentally challenged at all. It's a moral issue. Being a fool in the eyes of God refers to somebody who is stubborn, unbiblical, and unteachable. You can't tell them anything. And the problem is, none of us know everything. We all need help from time to time. We all need advice. We all need instruction. And a fool is just simply too proud to admit it. And that's why their life goes from one problem to another. They won't accept biblical counsel. One problem to another. Much of their life is wasted, and oftentimes they die young also. That is a fool. And all of it is for nothing, to be honest with you. It wouldn't have to be that way. 22. The blessing of the Lord makes rich, and toil adds nothing to it. God's blessing, and God's blessing alone, is the thing that enriches our lives. Now, work is important, no question about that. But it's useless unless it is directed by God and unless it has God's blessing. You can work like crazy. And you can do all sorts of things that should produce a positive result. But if you don't have God's blessing on it, it's not going to be worth anything and it's not going to produce a positive result. 23. It is like sport to a fool to do wrong, but wise conduct is a pleasure to a man of understanding. There are two types of people in this world, and I bet you have been exposed to both. Two types of people. Those who entertain themselves by getting into trouble. God says they're fools. And then the wise who receive pleasure from following the Lord. 24. What the wicked dreads will come upon him. Standing in the presence of Almighty God and being accountable for your sin. That is something that the wicked dreads. Or maybe they don't think about it very much, but I'm convinced that when they are laying in their bed and it's very quiet at night, those thoughts pop into their minds every now and then. What happens if there really is a hell? What happens if I am in trouble with God? And as you get older and older, those thoughts probably become more and more. And that is something that the wicked dreads. What the wicked dreads will come upon them. So what's going to happen? They will stand before God. And they will give an account for their sin. Notice the last part of verse 24. But the desire of the righteous will be granted. The wicked dread standing before God, that's going to happen. And the desire of the righteous will be granted as well. And standing in the presence of God and being able to thank Him for His grace and His forgiveness, that is something that the righteous look forward to, and someday they will be able to experience that. Verse 25, when the tempest passes, the wicked is no more, but the righteous is established forever. When it talks about the tempest, it's talking about the storm of God's judgment. And God makes it very clear. He says, when the storm of His judgment passes, the wicked are going to be swept away, swept into hell forever. But the righteous, because they have received Jesus Christ into their life as Lord and Savior, will remain in the place of God's blessing forever. 26. Like vinegar to the teeth and smoke to the eyes, so is the sluggard to those who send him. Now, I know what it's like to have smoke in my eyes, and you probably do also. That is an annoying thing and a frustrating thing. I've never had vinegar on my teeth, but I imagine it must be the same thing. But what God is saying is this: you will be annoyed and you will be frustrated if you are counting on a lazy person to do what He said He's going to do, but then He doesn't do it. That's going to be a source of annoyance for you and also frustration. And you know, the first couple of times that happens with that individual, first one or two times, it's his fault. But after that, it's your fault and it's my fault for continuing to put up with him, sticking with him, after he showed himself to be so unfaithful. 27. The fear of the Lord prolongs life, but the years of the wicked will be short. The hope of the righteous ends in gladness, but the expectation of the wicked comes to nothing. The expectation of the wicked comes to nothing, like Alexander the Great, who thought he could find true contentment if he could just conquer that next nation. If I can just conquer that next nation, then I know I'll be happy. And so he set out and he conquered nation after nation after nation. Finally, by the time he was in his early 30s, I understand, he pretty much ruled the whole inhabited world. And when he conquered that final nation, he sat down and he wept. Because although he conquered every single nation, he still wasn't happy. And happiness always escapes those who try to find it outside of Jesus Christ. 29. The hope of the righteous ends in gladness, but the expectation of the wicked comes to naught. The Lord is a stronghold to him whose way is upright, but destruction to evildoers. The Lord is a stronghold to those whose ways are upright. In other words, if you stay in the moral will of God, then God will protect you. Some of you people, you're football fans, so you're going to identify with this. You're going to understand what I'm talking about. If you have a quarterback, Brett Favre, he takes the snap, and he goes back to pass. If he stays in the pocket, if he stays behind those big offensive linemen of his, they will be his stronghold. They will protect him. But if he takes the ball and he runs out of that pocket, and he starts scrambling all over the place, that guy's on his own. They can't protect him if he doesn't stay in the place of protection. And it's the same in the spiritual realm with us and God. If we don't stay within the moral will of God, then we get out of the pocket, as it were, and he can't guard us. He can't protect us. Only when we stay in the moral will of God will he protect us and keep us from being sacked, as it were. He blocks for us when we stay in the moral will of God. 30. The righteous will never be removed, but the wicked will not dwell in the land. And believe me, the captivity of Israel by Babylon illustrates this verse to perfection. And unfortunately, it wasn't long after God gave this verse when Israel knew that he meant business. And he meant exactly what he said when he said this. Because they were taken out of their land, and they were taken out of their place of blessing because of their rebellion against God. 31. The mouth of the righteous brings forth wisdom, but the perverse tongue will be cut off. The lips of the righteous know what is acceptable, but the mouth of the wicked, what is perverse. The lips of the righteous, first part of verse 32, know what is acceptable. Isn't that the truth? If you know someone's character, you can count on that person to say what is acceptable. You don't have any fears about letting them talk to somebody, to your child, for example, or anybody else, because you know as a righteous person, they can be counted on to say the right thing. On the other hand, the last part of that verse says, but the mouth of the wicked says what is perverse. There are some people, I don't know about you, there are some people that I don't want around, and I certainly don't want talking to my son. And I don't want speaking up in a Bible study either, for that matter. And in the past, I have led Bible studies where somebody would walk into the room and all sorts of alarms would go off in my mind because I knew it was going to be trouble. And I had to watch them. I had to listen carefully to everything that they say. All sorts of things. Negative things can happen. When an unrighteous person speaks up, inevitable. It was inevitable that when somebody like that would open up their mouth and speak, I would have to spend time correcting unbiblical notions that they would put in people's minds. Let's look at chapter 11, verse 1. We're going to go through, and we'll get in here a little ways. Verse 1 says, a false balance is an abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is his delight. In other words, if you're a merchant, go ahead and charge whatever you want to charge for your product. Just be upfront about it. Make sure that people know what they're paying for the item. In other words, if you're selling bulk candy and you're selling it by the pound, and somebody asks for a pound of angel food candy, don't put your thumb on the scale and press down. Make sure that they get a pound's worth. That's what God is saying. And if you are a supermarket manager, make sure your scanners are working accurately. 2. When pride comes, then comes disgrace. And God also says that pride comes before a fall. In other words, something always seems to happen to knock prideful people down to size. And then afterwards, they're embarrassed and they feel shame. And they're not the big shot that they tried to come across as being. And so pride goes before a fall. And when pride comes, then comes disgrace. But look at the last part of verse 2. But with the humble is wisdom. It is so much better just to be a humble person, not try to come across as a big shot, as somebody important, because you're going to be knocked down to size if you do that. On the other hand, there's wisdom, God says, in being humble. If you're just a simple, down-to-earth type person, you're just yourself, and you're not trying to impress somebody, then unlike a prideful person, you're not going to be embarrassed when you don't come across as being a big shot. 3. The integrity of the upright guides them. In other words, if you allow God's moral law to be your compass, to direct your steps, to direct your decisions, if you allow God's moral law to be your compass in your life, then the Lord's going to be your guide as a byproduct of that. He's going to be your guide. People are always so concerned about finding the will of God. It's really not that big of a mystery. You stay in the moral will of God, and God will guide you. He'll show you the way regarding the specifics. Your integrity will guide you. God will guide you. And things may not always go your way, but even when they don't, at least you'll still have peace knowing that God is with you. And so it says, the integrity of the upright guides them, but the crookedness of the treacherous destroys them. If you go with your sinful desires, instead of the moral law of God, instead of the Holy Scriptures, then you're going to be in trouble. Then you're in big trouble. Because at that point, you are on your own. And notice what it says. It says the crookedness of the treacherous destroys them. If you get out of the moral will of God, you're no longer being led by God. You're being led, the Bible teaches, down a crooked path. And just like a crooked building will crumble, a crooked life will ruin. It will destroy. I think we'll stop right there for today. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Help us to apply it to our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.